Well, if it goes to the left, we go to the left. And if it goes to the right, we go to the right. But we go deep and we go high. Amen. It's good to let our roots grow deep in Christ and we grow high and tall. Amen. Amen. Now, on behalf of Senior Pastors Walk and Haley Shears, it gives me great pleasure to welcome to Ministry at Miracle Life Family Church, Bishop Harrison Sakala. Now, thank you. But there's still more to come a little bit. Now, Bishop Harrison Sakala and his wife, Pastor Elizabeth Sakala, are currently serving as the founding and the senior pastors of Tabernacle of David, which meets right here in the city of Lusaka. That's a church that they helped start and launched in 2005. Tabernacle of David has since grown to over 500 members in attendance in just a few years. Now, the bishop previously served as the longest-serving chief bishop of the whole Pentecostal Assemblies of God Church in Zambia. He also serves as chairperson of the Evangelical Fellowship of Zambia, as well as the president of the Pentecostal Assemblies of God Churches in Africa. And he oversaw 1,600 churches. Prior to taking up the leadership in the Assemblies of God Church, Bishop Sakala pioneered the work of the Lord in the Northern Province, where he planted a central church in Kasama and also planted 30 other churches in the region. He was the pastor of Peniel Assemblies of God Church, a church where our senior pastor Walker has ministered to, and also a church where I myself grew up, and as a boy, my spiritual foundations, my spiritual roots took root in that very church. So we're welcoming my former pastor. Bishop Sakala frequently teaches and ministers around the world, as well as teaching in several Bible schools. He's one of the instructors in the local teachers at Rema Bible Training Center here at right here at Miracle Life Family Church. And he shares in Pastor Walker and Haley's heart for preparing, equipping, and encouraging laborers and leaders for the end time harvest. He and his wife have been married since 1985, and they have a lovely family of five children. And I'm sure he will come briefly and tell you about his family and about his grandchildren or grandchild. Grandchildren, yes. And so please just open up your heart to receive God's word. We believe that he will deliver a wonderful message. We've already received testimonies from the first service. So Miracle Life Family Church, second service. Please help me make welcome here to minister the word of God in a powerful and a profound way, Bishop Harrison Sakala.
Thank you very much, Pastor Benjamin. It's a joy to see what the Lord is doing in people's lives as years pass by. Good morning, church. How many are happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? God bless your hearts. And I'm happy too to be here. And as Benjamin has been saying, we love to serve the Lord alongside people that have a passion and a burden to raise up leaders for the body of Christ. And so I'm excited to be here today and just to share, though I'm aware that this pulpit has been handled by various preachers, you know, and great preachers have come to stand here. So before I talk about my family, it reminds me of a story of a driver who was driving the shepherd, you know, who was shepherding his boss, who was a professor, you know, in metaphysics and all these things, quantum physics, the law of relativity and all those things. But, you know, the driver had listened for too long a time, because every time the professor, his boss, would go to present, he would listen to the teachings. He would sit in every time, to a point that after a number of times, it was almost becoming like his own teaching. And the professor recognized that, because he would ask questions when they're driving. He says, so what do you think of that? He says, yeah, today you even left out that point you had said in the previous meeting. You mentioned this, it was a very important point you left out. So the professor realized my driver can well handle this subject. So one day he was tired as he was going for this workshop, meeting fellow professors and so forth. So he says, you know what, I'm so tired today. Why don't you take my place and present this? You can. And the devil felt, I think I've listened enough, I can. So they stopped the car and swapped places. So when they got to the workshop, and you know, people are opening the door for the professor, who's really now the driver. And the professor goes out as a driver, and they give me a seat in the corner. And then the session starts. So the driver professor now goes on to present the paper. So he says, no, the law of this and that, the law of this and that. In this my paper, I'm thinking that in the future we may have to make things this way and that way and so forth. Then one of the professors in the audience says, wait a moment. The second law of thermodynamics has it that this is this and that and that. So what do you say of that? So, wow, by the way, that's a good question. I didn't think to come from you, but in any way, it's such an easy question. Even my driver here can answer. Well, so the driver stood up and answered. So I stand here as the driver professor. If things get tough, my driver will answer. But it's a joy to be at Miracle Life, and it's a joy to serve alongside Pastor Walker and Haley Shoes. Been friends a number of years. As Benjamin said, Pastor Walker ministered in my church in Northern Province over 20 years now. So you can see he shared a long relationship. Pastor Steve Shoup even camped at my, he refused to live in my house, so he had come with a tent and camped outside my house in Northern Province. So we've served together, long journey with the friends. But today I've come, my wife could not come because number one, it's Mother's Day. And at our assembly, the mothers have taken no charge of the church. So she's there. And besides that, she's also nursing a little grandchild from one of the daughters. But I've come along with my daughter, with her husband, Mr. Sirimba. So I ask them to stand as I welcome them as well. That's Melody with her husband. I have four grandchildren, and you can predict I'm waiting for two more. And all coming in the next 3 months. So 3 months from now, I'll be saying six. Oh, but it's a joy to you know, you enjoy these grandchildren when they come. This morning, the word I bring to you is something that was upon my heart when I was asked by Pastor Walker that I take this service. And those who do preaching, you know the troubles that we have. You have two problems if you're going to preach. But one of them is already overcome because... Okay. One of them is already overcome... Because of the, you can predict my accent to say there's a bit of Ngoni here, so you understand. But the biggest one that every preacher suffers from when you go to a place to preach is the Rhema. Is this what God wants me to preach? Because it's not just like a lecture theater imparting information. This is life. And so because it's life, is that God's idea should meet life. So that's where the trouble is. But I felt in my spirit that this is the word the Lord wanted for someone. They say that preaching must be the manifestation of the incarnate word by the written word through the spoken word. And so Christ should stand manifested as you proclaim the word. If something else or a man stands or any other thing stands, that's not preaching. Christ must be made incarnate in his service because he's the one who ministers to his people when he's exalted. And so I saw the Lord giving me this message, and I believe in my heart that God wants me to minister this word. It's beneficial to someone. In fact, one of the great preachers and teachers of the word of God, Martin Lloyd-Jones, said, I do the disciplines of a Bible teacher by sitting down and doing my studies and writing down my message. And yet when I go to minister, I'm very also ready to listen to the owner of the church. And if the owner of the church has something different, I lay aside my message and teach that which the owner of the church wants me to. So preaching is, that's the biggest assignment which every pastor, Pastor Healy, Pastor Walker, every other person stands, Pastor Kantumoya, Benjamin, and other pastors, you will face as a challenge. And I pray this morning that God may help open the eyes of your spirit, that we may be encouraged together through the reading, the reading and proclamation of this word this morning. I'm going to talk about storms as my subject. Storms as my subject. And those who have been in my class, in the homiletical class here at Miracle Life, will know that I divide subject is different, theme is different, and I have a title which is different too. So my subject is storms. And then my theme is the four strong anchors for an angry storm. Four strong anchors for an angry storm. And my title is Surviving the Tough Times. So I pray that you survive the tough times. When we keep the facets that are going to be shown through this word, you and I can survive the day of our tough times. Now, what are storms? Obviously, I grew up in dry land in Eastern Province. Our rivers dry up by April. They are already dry. So we don't have that much rivers we can talk about, really. Even our Luangwa, it's just a scanty thing of itself by now. So because of growing up in dry land, don't blame me if I tell you I don't know how to swim. After all, I don't need to learn anywhere to swim. So when you talk about a storm, it may be a strange thing as to for those who come from dry lands and so forth, not acquainted with water. But a storm for those who are close to water, like those from Luapula province or those from southern province, maybe the Kariba Dam and so forth, there are moments when you cannot go on water when the wind is against you. One time my wife and I went to Cape Town and we thought we should go and visit Robben Island. And this was an entire package, you know, the tour people had to take us there and the like. But disappointingly, when we went there, they said we cannot go across because the waters are against us today. The wind is against us today. It's not very good for us to sail. I said, we can't come all the way and just to end up saying that's the island in the middle there. We want to go there. But they said we could not go. Why? Because the winds were against us. No one wanted to take their boat there. And so we didn't go because of fear that maybe some winds may rise and cause a storm. And so maybe you don't even fulfill the purpose of seeing it. And Luapula province also we do hear sometimes. One day we went to do some evangelistic work in Chiluwi Island. But we ended up in Samfia and did not travel that day because the post boat, there's a post bus, there's also a post boat, could not travel because they felt that the winds were very strong. So we didn't travel that day, but only sailed the following day. Why? It's because they were afraid when the winds are going to rise, there will be a problem. So in the passage of scripture we're going to read here, you'll find that the Apostle Paul, who is the key figure we're going to look at today, was on his way to Rome, where he was trying to appear before Caesar because he appealed on a case which he had in his land, and he felt he would appeal to Caesar. So as they were sailing, they had a problem. So I want to attract your attention now to our text. And I'm reading from the King James Version, which is the book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 13 to 15, and then we'll skip over to verse 18 to 29. I'm reading from the King James Version. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Threw out objects from the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I save, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. The 4 strong anchors for an angry storm. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Now I pray that you grant me clarity of speech and transition of thought as I proclaim your word. I pray as well that the listeners will, beyond human words, get a rhema in their spirit, something they can run out of this service with, because the Holy Ghost will have spoken to their situation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Now, as I told you, I grew up in dry land, so I have what they call hydrophobia, the fear of water. And don't take me for deliverance. It never came by a demon. It came by circumstances. When I was a young man, we went to a river to draw some water, and it was raining uphill, and I didn't take note that it was raining uphill, and I had borrowed a bucket that we were using to draw the water and then take it over into a bigger drum or bigger container. But as I was trying to do that, my sister noticed that actually the water was becoming brown and brown and brown, indicating that uphill it was raining. And so the current was gaining momentum. So quickly she left the waters, and I wanted to get one more time of drawing the water. And as I was trying to do that, I was overwhelmed. My weight became light in the water, so I flipped over, you know, and flipped one time, somersaulting in the water, drank a few cups and so forth. But I was still holding on to the bucket because it was a borrowed bucket. So my sister said, let go of that bucket. And I was still trying to fight to come with it. But finally, I had to let go of it. And then it started to, trying something to get out of the water. But quickly, she came and held me and took me home. So whenever I would see water, I would simply say, this thing is not good. You know, so that phobia developed and so forth. But that just was simple water and so forth. But, you know, for those who travel on ships and even these huge boats and the like and so forth, we'll talk about the experience of storms. And these storms can be dangerous. They can be life-threatening. In fact, our memories are very much awakened to the reality of in recent times, the Italian, the liner, which actually went aground. And then not up to now, the bodies of those school kids in South Korea haven't even been all removed. As it were, they are still, the boat is still there. So the memories of shipwrecks because of winds of adversity are still fresh in our minds. So a storm can be very dangerous when it comes. And you know, when you are out there in the seas and high seas and so forth, and then a storm has come, you rely upon, of course, what men have come to learn and how to survive, survival instincts here and there, which our friends in this text were doing. And actually, these were experts in sailing across the Mediterranean Sea, as it were. But at this point, they tried everything possible, and they failed. First of all, the purpose of this trip, these men were carrying the Apostle Paul, though of course other business as well, but their main item was the Apostle Paul, because Paul appealed to go to Caesar. And Paul's appeal actually was divinely inspired, in the sense that when the Apostle Paul was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles, God promised him. He said, "I shall make you stand before kings and priests, as I have appointed you as an apostle to the Gentiles." And now who was a king? That time it was an empire. It was an empire. Rome was in charge. So there was only one king, but Caesar. And that's how even come at the rejection of Jesus Christ, they said, "We have no king but Caesar." And so because God said you stand before kings and priests, the priest stood before them, but for the king he hadn't done so. So Paul still had a mandate, and therefore he appealed to Caesar, because he also was inspired by a second factor. He had not been to Rome. The church was planted without him being present in planting the church. That's how come he writes the book of Romans to an audience he had not sat down with and had not visited before. And that's why he wrote the book of Romans as a theological treatise, because he wasn't sure as to what they had believed really. So he brings now the universality of sin and how that all men are susceptible to the grace of God if only they can believe. And that's why he writes it that way, because he had not been there before. But now a chance has come for him to go to Rome. And so as the Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome now, this boat encounters this storm. However, it's not a physical storm I'm yet to discuss in this message. I'm discussing the usage of the word storm. And I think even in our songs today, we tell the story of storms. And it stands for something which is a trying situation, a trying moment, a moment when you are encountering in your life the low hovering clouds of adversity when they come your way. That can be said to be a storm. In fact, we do sing songs like, "Storm is over, I can see the sunshine." It's because the storm can be anything which is threatening you, or causing a discomfort, or perhaps jeopardizing your welfare, or perhaps an impending loss of a job, and even it can come to marriage. A marriage can be going through a storm, where for some reason, and the reason you don't understand, something has just possessed your partner, and they just don't want to reason with you. That can become a storm. "He that looked upon your eyes and one time said, 'Behold, I love you,' now says, 'Look at you.'" That can be a storm. And so there are various storms. Others at workplaces. You've done nothing wrong. But just like Joseph, who did nothing wrong apart from simply telling a testimony of the dreams that God had given him, and his own brethren rise against him just to sell him as a slave. A storm can come in your life. Sometimes a storm can come in the form of sickness and disease. You've tried every trick in the book, every doctor you want to see, but something is just eating you up and you're wondering, "Will I make it?" A storm can come out of a financial situation. You're failing to make ends meet. The pay slip is shorter than the days. That can be a storm in your life. So storms can come from various situations. Circumstances. Others can be caused by yourself. You make a mistake, a storm can come in your life. Others can be caused by others. Others' jealousies or any other thing, it can cause a storm in your life. But regardless of how your storm may come, I only have one answer today. Cast the four anchors cast your four strong anchors in order to survive an angry storm in your life. And I want you to know that you have to survive the tough times. So surviving the tough times is what we are called to. Now, there are two birds that we can learn from. One of them is a rooster, you know, and when it rains and the storm comes, the rooster is totally under trouble and will be running for cover. And sometimes to look big when things are okay, when the rain has come to shrink and become small, running, looking for cover. Then the other one is the eagle. When a storm comes, it flies above the storms. No wonder God, in analogy, uses, he says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle, because the eagle flies above the storms of life. The essence of this message this morning is that you may not be a rooster, but be an eagle in those days when a storm comes your way. That God may give you the grace to mount up above the storms of life and enjoy the sunshine. So that when Sunday service comes and the rooster is giving a testimony of almost dying, you say, I was in the sunshine because I flew above the storms of life. So, this story we have in our text is a real story in Paul's life. Yet there be, as I say, situations in life which can be a storm, which can be compared to a storm in one's life. Now, this storm that he encountered is called Euroclydon. And they say that actually the speed of this storm usually, when it rises, is about 160 kilometers an hour. Now, you know, even when you're driving a car at 160 kilometers an hour, you know, it's like someone said, if you're below 80, the angels are having fellowship with you. You know, and when you go 120, others leave you, only two remain. You know, and then when you go to 140, the last angel leaves you. When you go to 106, 108, even the devil leaves you. Even him says, I know this is too much. But however, this wind, this Euroclydon, has been known in the history of the Mediterranean Sea to have actually run several ships aground. It's a very violent storm. And this is the same storm that Apostle Paul faced now with this team that was taking him to Rome. And these men were experts in what they were doing. I want to encounter, to propose a few things to you. That regardless of the source of the storm, one thing we know, God promises us to stand with us in any situation we are going to face. It's a promise of God. And let me tell you something, God is not a manipulator to just give us empty promises. God fulfills his promises. And as I go on in my message, I'll propose to you the four anchors that you have to put down in order to have your refuge or to have your protection of your ship. Now, obviously, losing things that don't matter is one of the things that people do in terms of trouble. These men, they began to make the boat light. Those who have been on the shore, the boat, you know what you do? You start to throw away heavier things to make your boat lighter to survive the storm. They did that and nothing happened. They did everything they knew, nothing happened. And then God comes. An angel stands by the Apostle Paul. And he says, the men will be saved, but this ship is no more. It will die. It will break apart. And in no time, as you go on reading the book of Acts, that thing was broken into pieces. And because they were near an island, they held on to planks and swam across holding the planks until they find themselves on the little island. But my interest is not what they did. My interest is what the Apostle Paul did in his life. And that's where our four anchors will come from. The crew does not believe the Apostle Paul, first of all. They think, no, he's lying. The crew cast out the four anchors in the midst of the storm. They were hoping that the anchors might somehow catch hold of something and stop the ship so that it does not go against these terrible winds, as it were. But to no avail at all. And until the boat was destroyed. They never looked at any other source. There are other people today who pass through the same problem like yourself, like me and like you and I. We will pass through the same problems of life, but they will do what they know better to do. But there's something they cannot do which you and I can do. And that's why we are gathered today at Miracle Life. We can look to Jesus Christ. And when you look to Jesus Christ, it makes a difference. Let's look at the Apostle Paul. Paul already had four anchors that were holding him in place. When everyone else was shaking and running around, throwing things out and trying to hold the sailing, whatever, those things, but still, Paul was peace, calm, cool, calm, and collected for one reason. He knew whom he was. He knew who he belonged to. He knew his God, and he knew who to look to. So let's look at these anchors which the Apostle Paul cast down into the sea. Anchor number one, the Apostle Paul cast down the presence of God. An angel appeared before me. By me, he says. Brethren, when an angel appears by you, he doesn't appear alone. It means the presence of the Almighty has come. Because the angels are messengers from the throne room of God. They are ministering spirits sent by God to come and minister to us. And I'm sure what God did here, he wanted to bring even a physical manifestation to create an assurance in the Apostle Paul. You may not see an angel physically, but one writer, I think it's Leonard Ravenhill, he said if all the believers saw how many angels minister to them on a daily basis, they would stop behaving the way they behave. Their confidence levels would rise. But brethren, you may not see them with your physical eyes. There are moments when God sends angels to minister to us at a time we don't even realize. But thank God for the Apostle Paul. God sent an angel. Acts, and look at the book of Acts, which you have just been reading here. He said, an angel stood by me and he told me these words. The presence of God was with Paul. Now, here's how the presence of God was. In that very trouble, that very storm, that very Euroclidon at 160 kilometers an hour, that very storm, as horrible as it appeared, yet God was present. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Sometimes the circumstances can appear as, can look as if God is not there with you. But let me tell you something. Do not define what you're going, don't define God in light of what you're going through. Define Him by who He is. Our God is a great God. His presence matters. I can assure you that no matter what storm can come your way, the presence of God matters. When God is present, what you're going through, it shall come to pass. It will just pass and go behind you and you move on. When you're a child of destiny, the presence of God matters. But these men never knew God. Angels are present with Paul. Therefore, God is present. Because when you see an angel, God is right there. In the midst of your storm, you need to find the presence of God. It's not time to run away. It's time to seek the presence of God. Because the presence of God makes a difference. In Psalm 27 verse 4, the Bible says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Seek after God. When you are in a storm, seek the presence of God. Psalm 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Seek after the presence of God. Others, when they encounter a situation, even church becomes bad news. Let me tell you, seek after God. No matter what you're going through, even if you don't want to, carry yourself in the house of God. You never know a rhema He may throw at your spirit. Seek the presence of God. Paul, in that very situation, never started to doubt what God has spoken. Master, now where are you? You said I'll stand before kings and priests. Is this what they were? I'm going to end. No. God simply stood still. Paul stood still and said, no, I know my God. I know He can't let me down. Anchor number one, seek the presence of God. Anchor number two, which Paul threw into the waters, was the person of God. Listen to the words, fear not. That's the personality of God. When God comes in a situation, He says, fear not. You know, it reminds me of Reinhard Bonnke one time. He's preaching at a crusade, and then God gives him a word, so He points at a woman, and He says, Mama, come. I sense you have no child. And God is saying, by next year, you have a child. And the woman looks at Bonnke, and she says, does he know what he's talking about? because her uterus was removed due to a tumor. And here's a woman with that uterus, and then the preacher is saying, you have a child. Doesn't know what he's talking about. You know what? Bonke was speaking from the authority of the person of God. Regardless of the scientific knowledge. And maybe it was even good that he did not even know about it. And then he spoke the word. But a year after, the woman had a child. I don't know what happened. I can't explain. It's as good as a black cow eating green grass and having white milk. God works in his own way. God can step into any storm. I don't care what it is. I don't care what they have said. The person of God, God can step into any storm. Jeremiah 32 verse 17. This is what the Bible says. Ah, Lord God. That's how it starts. Ah, Lord God. Behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Ah, Jeremiah starts. Ah, Lord. You know, this is Women's Day. I mean, Mother's Day. The women can say that. Ah, Lord. What the Lord has done. He said there's nothing too hard with him. In that storm, there's nothing too hard with the Lord. There is nothing too hard for God. And so Paul realized when the angel stood before him, he had an unwavering confidence that the person of God shall ensure that things come to pass. The personality of God is that when he says something, he does it. Amen. Nothing is impossible before God. Nothing. Surviving the tough times. Throw your anchor by knowing the personality of God. Who is he to you? Let's look at this man. Job, everything has been taken away. That was a terrible storm. Sometimes we sing these songs in the theaters. We don't know who sang them first. The man is sitting on the rubbish pit and he's saying, I know my Redeemer liveth. But ourselves, we come, you know, perfumed all over. I know my Redeemer. The man was in a storm. When you're saying, I know my Redeemer liveth, he was in a storm. But when you know the person of God, nothing changes God in your eyes. You still know him. Though he may strike me in the flesh, I shall see him face to face because I know my Redeemer liveth. Know the person of God. For they that know their God, they shall work strong and do exploit. When you know the person of God, I pray that you join the Apostle Paul, cast the anchor of knowing the Holy One of Israel. There's another scripture again, which we like quoting. It's Jeremiah. Again, it's in Jeremiah. E 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. And we quote these scriptures. I saw someone with a number plate. You know, JER 29:11. But do you know where Jeremiah was when you're saying those words? Israel was barely a year in captivity. And then God is giving a promise that I know the thoughts I have for you. Meanwhile, the fulfillment of those thoughts is 69 years after. You didn't hear me. They were in the middle of a storm, captivity by Babylon. Then he said, the thoughts I have for you. What is he saying there? Know the person of God, so that even when things are not seemingly working well, you will still know who God is, that he's in charge, and his thoughts towards you haven't changed. Your condition that you're going through do not change God's opinion about you. He still cares for you in your storm. His thoughts are still good for you in your storm. But remember, this is only relevant when you have come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you don't have Jesus as a personal Savior, you cannot survive this life. You can't survive the tough times when they come. You can't survive the storms of life. That's why those men, many they were, they threw up every trick they knew, but the ship went aground. But one man who knows Jesus says, God has given me a word. You shall survive, and we shall end up all of us being in peace. Be of good cheer. Only somebody who knows Jesus can throw those words. So I pray that you join us in casting the anchor. Oh, no, good. Number three, the anchor number three, that is through. The Apostle Paul threw the anchor of the promise of God. So we looked at number one, the anchor of the presence of God. Number two, the person of God. Number three, the promise of God. God has given you all the lives in the ship, the angel said. You must appear before Caesar. Confirmation of the journey and destiny. God speaks and it must come to pass. In Romans 3 verse 4, Bible says, God forbid. Yeah, let God be true, but every man a liar. When God speaks the word concerning your life, he will not abrogate over his promises. What he has promised to your life, that will come to pass. He doesn't care whether it is summer or winter that comes. Nothing will change the promises of God concerning your life. Not even your background or heritage and so forth. Nothing can change the promises of God in your life. What did God say to Paul? I've raised you as an apostle. In fact, in the recent weeks I've been studying the life of Paul. I realize what an honor to have the apostle Paul as the apostle to us, the Gentiles. Because without the Apostle Paul, who would have defined the issues of the New Testament without Paul? The entire New Testament, three quarters of it, is the Apostle Paul. And this same Paul now knew how to use the anchor so we can imitate him and what he did. And he even says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. This Paul knew the promises of God. Do not waver or do not shudder or have fear when you are in Christ and you embrace the promises of Christ, regardless of the storm you pass through, it shall be well with you. That's the promise of God. So here is Paul. He has been told you stand before kings and priests. And before he can stand before any of the priests, they stoned him in Lystra and piled up some stones over him, leaving him for the dead. The Bible is very clear. They left him for the dead. But in the morning, the cool breeze was searching in the heavens and realized there was a word which was spoken by God. You shall stand before kings and priests. And the wind realized this man hasn't stood there yet. And the body of Paul obeyed the word of God. The stones began to fall one by one. Let me be an evangelist now. And the body of Paul was surrounded by the rocks. And the wind, the cool breeze in the morning passed through his body. And the stones began to fall off one by one in obedience to the word of God that said, before kings and priests. And Paul rose again and stood up. And so Paul was of necessity. He had to be protected because within him was a container of the word of God before kings and priests. The promises of God. I pray that you rely on the promises of God because God can't lie. He said it, therefore you should believe it. Paul said, I believe God that it shall be so as he has told me. These were his words to the men. I believe God because he has told me. When you know what God has told you, things will take place. But lastly, he threw the anchor of the purpose of God. Paul, regardless of the situation and the storm he faced, he was in the perfect will of God. God's purposes were alive in his life. God desires to fulfill his purposes in our lives. Listen what he says to confirm that. Whose I am and whom I serve. It's a statement of purpose. I don't belong to anybody else. Not even to you, my jailers. Not even to see the way I'm going. I belong to Jesus. And I save not Caesar, but Jesus Christ. Purpose. Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that all things, some things, all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And in Christ, you are called according to his purpose. God works all things according to his purpose. We must trust his purpose, and that is for our good. I don't know what storm you're going through, but if I can give you, we all go to Nando's and we take away some things, some takeaway food, take away this and that. If there's a takeaway you can take from Miracle Life this morning, here are the four takeaway packages I'm going to give you. Number one, takeaway package. In the middle of your storm. Number one, we can anchor in the presence of God in the house of God. Don't neglect the habit of meeting together. Number two, takeaway, we can anchor in the person of God by understanding just how big and great our God is. Number three, we can anchor in the promises of God by listening and remembering what God has said to us and through his word. Number four, we can anchor in the purpose of God by looking for the good that comes out of the bad, because he's always a God of purpose. But how do you understand this purpose? Except Jesus Christ opens your eyes. So I ask that we close our eyes in prayer as we muse over these words. If a storm comes your way, I pray that may God give you the grace to survive your tough times as you throw the four anchors of an angry storm, because storms will come in our lives. But I pray that God gives you the grace. Now, as we are praying, you might be here. You have never received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And when this storm comes in your life, it may be very devastating to you. We can help you come to Christ this morning. I did this several years ago. You can just raise your hand where you are. We're going to pray together. Anyone who wants to receive Christ as a personal Savior, just raise your hand. Somebody wants to come to Jesus Christ? Want to raise your hand just where you are? Are there any hands? Someone wanting to come to Jesus Christ? Just want to help you come to Christ? It's a joy over one soul that comes to Christ. Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven. All right, so there's no one. Let's just pray together for all the saints. Father, I thank you that this morning we can anchor in you. As the songwriter says, we have an anchor that keeps the shore, steadfast and secure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. May someone be grounded firm and deep in your love. Now, as we are praying, you are a believer, but you have gone through some storm in your life, and you're saying, I need support prayer this morning. Just raise your hand once and put it down. We're going to pray together. Thank you for those hands. Just put them down. Just raise your hand once and put it down. Father, thank you that behind each of those hands there is a heart. And your word says, O God, a contrite heart and a humble spirit you shall not despise. I pray, Lord, speaking and declaring to that heart to receive a miracle of this word and the purpose for which you have sent it this morning. In Jesus' name, I speak a release of your spirit in that circumstance, in that situation, in that storm. May the word bear fruit this morning, because we have asked all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Glory be to God. Bishop, thank you so much for that timely word.
We thank God that there is a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. He's true. His word is a faithful God. It's not a matter of how big the mountain is to us or how harsh the storm is. It's a matter of knowing how big our God is. Thank you very much. I still feel if there is anybody that maybe when that altar call was made, you were still making up your mind. You want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, Apostle Paul was in the ship. But if you're not in Jesus Christ, we're not even talking about you facing the storm while in the ship. We're talking about you facing the storm outside the ship. So if you're here, you were still making up your mind. Can we give you an opportunity to walk to the front right now? I'd like to pray with you. Say, Pastor, I was making up my mind. I want to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Just raise your hand where you are. I'd like to pray with you. You are so important that we don't want to leave you out. Is there anybody here? Oh, where? Am I seeing a hand there? Okay. There is a hand there. If there is a hand, please rise. To accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Can you rise? Okay. Can you rise, please? Okay. Can you come here? Walk to the front here. Said, anyone who would receive my kingdom, like a little one, is blessed because the kingdom of God is for those that who receive it like a child. And some of you think this child is too little to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you think maybe the decisions he's made is out of nothing. This child knows what to eat and what not to eat. She knows the colors she wants at this age. If she can choose the food, the type of food to eat, and the colors of clothes to wear, she is ready to choose who to believe. She's chosen to believe Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This one. The slate is clean. Jesus will be the first one to write on the slate of this heart. May God bless this soul. I want to pray with you. Where is Mama? Mama, can you come over here, please? This is remarkable. For those of you that have never seen a thing like this, what we are seeing here is great. Did you force this child to raise their hand? You didn't?
No.
Okay. Is this your firstborn?
No, my last born.
The last born. Okay. I'm going to pray with you. Congregation, please raise your hand to us this baby. Father, we thank you for this angel. Something some great men and women have failed to do, it has been revealed to this one. And Father, you say, in the mouth of babies, you shall perfect praise. Jesus, you say, suffer not the little ones. Let them come to me. Because the kingdom of God is for those who receive it as a little child. I thank you for this child. I thank you for your grace. your love. I thank you for the future that is so full of blessings. The future of this child is so bright. The blessings uncounted. Father, we thank you for the life of this child, that you're going to use this child greatly for your kingdom's sake. Many people on earth will be blessed because of this girl. And Father, may her path be plotted by you. May everything she put her hand to succeed and prosper. One day when she opens her mouth, you will be glorified. Thank you, Father. I want you to raise your hand now. Raise your hand. Repeat this following these words after me. Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, He's the Son of God who came to save mankind, and that I'll be saved. Today, I give my life to you. The whole lot of my life. Forgive me of the sins that I was born with. I now ask you, Lord Jesus, to be Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for plotting my future. And I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.